You're listening to Shooting Hoops with your hosts, Dia Miller and Adam Drexler.
Welcome back to Shooting Hoops, a podcast about basketball and the Portland Trailblazers. I'm your host, Dia Miller. I'm here with my co-host, Adam Drexler. This is episode 10, I think we're on, maybe?
Around there.
Something. We're going to lose track here now. We're getting to that point. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on YouTube. If you're listening on podcast platforms, we'll do our best to paint a picture of what's happening here on YouTube. But if you're not seeing it on YouTube, you're definitely missing out on Adam's really cool jacket, for one. I love this jacket. You've worn this before. This is the one that has your dad on the back, right?
Yeah. Found this in my closet and thought it was cool, and now I rock it regularly.
It is very cool. It's a very cool jacket. It has the 22 there on the front.
Yeah, it's got this like Clyde Drexler.
That's so cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
Pretty neat.
So Adam, how are you? How have you been? We were off a week and here we are.
Yeah, it's been an eventful week. I actually made the trip out to Portland. I was there for the week. So got to visit my hometown and see all my friends and family. And it was great. It was great to be back in Rip City.
I saw your PDX carpet photo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Still.
Got to get that.
You know, it's still a recognizable carpet, but it's not the same carpet that we all know and love. So
it isn't the same.
Hopefully the city can help us out here.
I saw that they're going to be replacing it. Like, they're getting the original carpet
back. Yeah, they have Post-its all over the airport. Like, we're working on it. We know. Sorry. They're on it. I trust them to handle it.
I feel like...
about me. How are you?
I am barely awake, but here we are. I'm good. I'm good. Just, you know, kicking, alive and kicking.
Yeah, can't ask for more, you know.
Yeah, I mean it's a good thing. So we are coming off of the Memphis game. I actually have not even watched the game yet because I had my kids tonight and other things going on. But we won, which is very, very, very good news. And we are currently 11th in the West, so we jumped up a spot. 25-26 record. So we are, why did that not work? There we go. You can, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the standings currently, the teams in front of us. Look, you know, we're in 11th, obviously that's not an ideal spot, but if you look at the standings, we're only a few games back from being, I mean, if you look up at sixth is the Suns, and they're at 27-25. So we're only a couple games out of being not even in the play-in, in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, we're one game away from being one spot away from being in the play-in. But, I mean, let's not gloss over the fact that we beat, you know, one of the top teams in the West by 10 points.
And without Nurk for most of the game.
Yeah.
Without... somebody else got hurt too. Who else got hurt? Didn't somebody else get hurt?
Who else got hurt?
Did I just make that up in my mind right now?
Mm.
I thought I saw somebody else. Oh, Jeremy. Jeremy got hurt as well.
He played.
But then didn't he get hurt during the game?
I think so. I think he might have.
This is what happens when we haven't watched the game yet. So
I watched. I just watched and I noticed him just getting buckets as per usual. So I didn't notice.
Oh, okay. Well, then ignore what I said.
I know he finished with like 18.
Okay. So, yeah. No, never mind. Anyway, but without Nurk.
Yeah. And I mean, there's something about the Grizzlies this year where they've got this bravado now. They've said that we're good in the West, or Ja Morant tweeted out that we're good in the West. And ever since then, it seems like every team has just been, you know, taking a game against the Grizzlies. Because now teams are actually like amped up to beat the Grizzlies. It's no longer just a normal regular season game. It's a they've been talking smack,
right,
and we need to beat
right.
them. So I'm glad to see the Blazers stepped up.
So I actually, you know this, but maybe not everybody listening. One of the things that I do, one of my jobs, I guess, is I photograph NBA on TNT, or not TNT, NBA Today on ESPN. My brain, I'm telling you, when I say I haven't slept, it is affecting my brain tonight. NBA Today on ESPN. I'm in the studio once a week at least shooting that show, hosted by Malika Andrews, Chinee Ogumike. They've got, you know, a panel of people now that are on that show. But Malika, I believe it was Malika who interviewed Ja when he made that comment about how, yeah. you know, she asked who he was, you know, worried about. And he basically said, nobody. And I think every
yeah, now he is
took that personally.
Yeah, before we get into it, I want to say, like, how cool is that? Let's give you your flowers for, like, that's really cool. You get to be, everyone watches that. I watch
yeah.
it. And
yeah,
like the fact that you're there on set taking pictures, seeing it live, it is an amazing thing. And that's so cool that you do that.
Thanks. Yeah, you know, this when we started this podcast, this was one of the things that I thought was cool, was kind of getting to have the insight that we have. Like, you and I mm-hmm. both are in kind of unique positions to be able to share some kind of like different views. And this is one of the things that, you know, that I'm doing now. And it is really cool. I get to see, you know, different players come in and do these interviews. Obviously, Malika and Chinee are pretty well known, but they've got, you know, Richard Jefferson is on the show. Kendrick Perkins is on the show. Now they've got... They've got Tristan Thompson on the show now. So several NBA guys that are now retired who are giving their input. And it's really interesting for me as obviously a fan to, you know, see kind of how the show works. It's a live show. My biggest fear is that I'm accidentally going to step in front of a camera that they're using and end up on the air. But it's really interesting to kind of hear them talk, because when the cameras aren't rolling, you know, when they're in between breaks and things, they're talking about their opinions and stuff. And I get some really interesting insight to a whole different side of the game. I feel like I've definitely learned some things being there, but yeah, it is. It's pretty cool to kind of get to be in there and, you know, seeing what goes on behind the scenes. So kind of fun. Yeah. So back to the team, you know, we're in this kind of weird place where we are, the West is competitive. We know that, but the team is kind of in this stagnant. We've been in this spot, you know, around 12th, 11th, 10th, that spot. We haven't really leaped up, but we also haven't just totally lost control either. So we're in kind of this weird spot of like, where are we at? What's going on? This team should be good. We should be at the worst, in my opinion, a play-in team. So talk to me a little bit about this, Adam. What do you think? What do you think about where we're at?
It's tough. I can't say that it's a bad place to be in. I mean, of course, if you look at the standings, it's, you know, okay, 11th, that's not flattering. But when you talk about the West and how competitive and how close it's been, as opposed to the East, where they're clear cut, you know, favorites, they're clear cut teams that you know are going to probably make it out of the East. The West, it's unclear. One day it's the Grizzlies, the next day it's the Nuggets, the next day, you know, the Clippers, you know, are back in the race. They're the fourth, you know, and the Kings are weirdly in third. So yeah. I'm sorry, Kings fans. I don't dislike the Sacramento Kings. I'm just
as shocked as
the rest of the world. Yeah, it's shocking.
No one saw that coming.
But congrats for being magical. There. If you're a Kings fan, like, congratulations. This is your time.
We're jealous.
and then you got teams like the Timberwolves, who are kind of in a similar situation as the Blazers. Like, they have a talented roster, and they're just still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
It reminds me,
have you ever seen it, those, like, I see these at baseball games. I maybe they do them at other games, but where they'll put like on the screen, like little baseball hats that are like racing, and they're like doing this, and you think one is going to pull ahead, and then this one pulls ahead, and then this one over here like pulls way ahead. That's what I think of right now when I think about the teams in the West. It's like you have all these little teams just racing, and one will pull ahead, and then another one will pull ahead, and you just really never know.
Yeah, it's anybody's game. Another one that I didn't bring up was the Pelicans. They were sitting way up there in the standings, and now they're down there.
They're 10th. With us, hanging out.
I mean, we're going to see a lot of fluctuations this season. The season's far from over. So, I mean, we're not even halfway yet. So we're almost there, but
we haven't hit All-Star break yet.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to see what happens. And I think part of it is that teams are no longer surprised by the Blazers. At first, I think a lot of teams didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what kind of roster they were facing game in and game out. They were just like, okay, well, it's kind of like the Denver Nuggets when they first started being a solid team. It was like the first year they were really good, didn't go far in the playoffs, but they finished good in the standings. And then the second year they kind of struggled. So I think the Blazers are kind of going through an iteration of that where, you know, we played good for the first quarter of this season and beat a lot of teams. And now teams are saying, okay, this is no longer a give me kind of game. We have to actually go out and really compete to win this game against the Trailblazers because it's a tough team.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't been blown out a lot. Mm-hmm. The games we've lost, a lot of them were winnable. We could have won them. And a lot of them were close. So I know that as a fan, that's incredibly frustrating. There's almost a sense in which you'd rather just be blown out because it's like, okay, well, we couldn't have won that. But it's also encouraging. Like, we can win these games. So, man. Okay, we have to talk about Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard. Okay, let's just do this. We got to put this up here. Damian Lillard, this tweet comes from Slam Magazine, Slam Online. It says, take a bow, Dame. Damian Lillard nods the most efficient 60-point game in NBA history. He is now tied fourth all-time with James Harden and Michael Jordan for most 60-point games. He's tied with Michael Jordan for most 60-point games. There are only two people in front of Dame who have more 60-point games than Damian Lillard. There are only two people in NBA history who have more 60-point games than Damian Lillard. This tweet comes from NBA history. It says, tonight was the fourth 60-plus point game of Damian Lillard's career. Only five players in NBA history have four or more such games. Wilt Chamberlain, who has 32. 32! Let's just take a second hard to be that. One. Yeah. In fact, Dame in his post-games interview after this game where he scored 60 points, he said something along the lines of none of us are ever catching Wilt.
not anytime. I don't see that happening unless
which is
they make
wild.
The game longer, or
I mean, that's a whole other conversation because he also played in a time where they weren't really shooting threes the same, like that's a whole other conversation.
I've always found that to be super impressive, like a lot of these, like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, LeBron is about to pass his record, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar didn't shoot threes.
Right.
It's insane.
It's wild. So 32 60-point games for Wilt Chamberlain, six for Kobe Bryant. That's how big of a gap there is between the first and second. And then both James Harden and Michael Jordan also have four games. So I foresee this not being Dame's last 60-point game. He very well may pass Michael Jordan and James Harden.
It's possible.
And games here.
He's on a team where he kind of can. James Harden, when he was playing with Houston, the Rockets were designed to get him to score. Like he had, it's similar to like Luka Doncic. He's putting up these crazy numbers, and it's like the team is designed for him to put up crazy numbers. When you have the ball the entire time, you're going to score. And Damian Lillard, it's odd to see that because he's on a team where there are four other players that score the ball very well. So the fact that he's able to put together those kind of performances is a testament to his game because his usage rate is nowhere near that of a James Harden or Luka. As far as Michael Jordan goes, I mean, that's hard because, I mean, if you put Michael in today's era and all bets are off. But it's really not.
He's not. So Dame doesn't have to worry about him catching up.
Yes. And I think to me, it's like, it's more impressive that he's, you know, tied with James Harden because he's like in the modern era of scoring than one of those people who's been able to just flat out score the ball. So I'm impressed. And to do it with two other players on your roster averaging over 20 points.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, for sure. We got to put a couple more up here. This one comes from Orlando Sanchez. He says, the broadcast just put up Lillard's stats over the past 10 games. He's averaging 38 points and 8 assists per game during that span. That is so... Not only is he scoring, but he's creating. Like, he's getting assists and points. That's really, really impressive.
Yeah, that's something that we haven't seen much of over the past, you know, few years, is Damian Lillard being like, you know, a major assist kind of player. I mean, normally it's him running off screens, getting open to kind of, you know, get his offense going, but he's actually creating opportunities for other players at a high rate, which is really good basketball. I'd love to see it.
Yeah. And then, of course, we can't miss this. Damian Lillard was named, rightfully so, the Western Conference Player of the Week for last week, averaging 42.3 points per game, shooting 63.2%, you know, and then from the three, 51.4%, which is wild, and then 7.7 assists per game average. So those are some wild stats there for Dame. And I think especially it has to be said that not only are these wild stats for Dame or for anyone for that matter, this is coming off a year of not playing off of a massive surgery at 32 years old. Like he is on a fire. And he's definitely keeping himself in the conversation. If the Trailblazers were a top team, I think that Dame would be in the conversation for MVP. I don't think you could ignore that.
Definitely. I think the Blazers, you know, they get to, you know, sixth, fifth in the standings. Yeah. I see Dame being in the MVP conversation easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are a lot of players that you know are putting up these crazy stat lines this season, and because the West is so close, it's hard to see who the clear front runner is.
Yeah,
as far as the West Coast Conference, East Coast, you know, they've got their picks, but in the West, there's so many good players who are having to compete day in and day out to win these games, and Damian Lillard is easily in the conversation for not only, you know, MVP, but I think a lot of people overlook him as one of the best point guards in the league. I mean, a lot of people focus on Ja Morant right now and Steph Curry. But a lot of people don't bring up that Damian Lillard is putting up legendary performances. He broke a record this season. Like, there's definitely a lack of talk about that. And I think that's something we have to acknowledge.
Yeah, I think absolutely. If you look at the point guards that are in the league right now, Dame's up there. He's one of the top point guards in the league right now. And I know obviously we're a little partial, but the numbers don't lie. And right now, especially, he is just on a streak. If he can manage to keep up the numbers like he is, he's arguably top three point guards in the league, in my opinion.
Definitely.
So, you know, that says a lot. And truly, truly, if the Blazers can pull out of this little kind of slump that they're in and really make a run for it, Dame could be in the MVP. I think you're right. I think he should be in the MVP conversation. It's kind of frustrating when you have somebody performing the way that Dame is, who could potentially be in that conversation, but isn't, because the team isn't performing the way that, you know, they potentially need to in order for that. That's a frustrating thing to watch, I'm sure, for him as well.
Yeah, that's always difficult because, I mean, yes, he's putting up these crazy stat lines, and then you want it to translate to wins. But I mean, right now it's just so much competition in the West. So it's really hard to see.
When you have a 40-point game and then your team loses, that's really frustrating. And I think that that's one of the things that like Blazers fans right now are struggling with, is we're watching Dame just go off. And in the past, I think we've seen him do that, and it has translated to wins. I mean, there was talk a couple seasons ago where Dame would just essentially throw the team on his back and drag him into a win. And that's not always happening this season. Dame is going out and having great games, and then they're losing. And it's so frustrating to watch that happen. And I can only imagine being the team and feeling that frustration.
Yeah, especially when like you know that it's not that he's alone this season. I mean, you know he's surrounded by other players who can really play. So it's weird to see, but
it is.
You know, it's not written in stone yet, and we really don't know where they'll end up at the end of the season.
Right. Well, and so now that actually is kind of a good lead into, we're approaching the trade deadline, and I've seen a lot of conversation, which we've seen for literally years, about when are the Trailblazers going to give Dame the help he deserves? And it's such a weird conversation to see happening when you look at the roster the way that it is, because like there is help. And there are guys, like you said, you know, you're getting a 40-point game, but then you also have teammates that are getting 20 points. So there are people around him. The trade deadline is approaching, and I think we've talked a little bit about how, like, what do you even do if you're the Trailblazers? You know, I mean, I love the game of throwing out random names of like, oh, I want this guy. Oh, I want this guy. But like, it's not that simple, because you can want that guy all you want, but you have to have the ability to offer something that team is willing to trade for. You have to have the salary space to get them. Like, there's so many moving parts to this. That being said, it has been reported that the Trailblazers are open to trading both Josh Hart and Yusuf Nurkic. I would argue that probably almost everybody on the team is a possibility. I think Dame is untouchable. I think outside of that, we have a front office willing to make moves. If it's the right move and they feel like it fits, I would say that probably everybody is available short of Dame. So what do you think? What do we do here? What do you think is going to happen? It's madness right now.
Yeah, it's a weird place, because I'm not going to beat around the bush. Portland is a small market team. It's not going to get the coverage that it deserves. And very few media members are going to advocate for the Trailblazers, you know, getting a star or getting something good in a trade. That rarely happens for small market teams. And when it does, it's just kind of like a, you know, circumstance, purely circumstance. And, you know, we've seen things like, you know, Kawhi going to Toronto, you know, but in terms of the Trailblazers, what can they trade to get something better than what they have? I don't know if I see much out there. It's kind of looking bleak in terms of that. But one thing the Blazers can do is keep players. And I know one of the players that they're trying to keep is Jeremy Grant, and they just offered him an extension, which he has not agreed to. So I think kind of finding players that can help Dame out over the course of time while also building up the roster is going to be the solution.
Yeah, I think that Jeremy is another one we have to talk about, because this is an interesting kind of unique situation where he's been offered the extension and he has not accepted it, but he also hasn't turned it down. I don't think you see that happen all that often. So Adam, this is where you come in. Give me your insight as a player who maybe understands this a little bit better. What's the reasoning? Because I've seen a lot of people panicking. I've seen a lot of people freaking out that he's going to leave. He's going to go somewhere else. He wants more money from a better team, whatever else. I don't think that's the case, but tell me what you think.
Well, when you approach it from a business standpoint, I mean, Jeremy Grant, you know, his agent will tell you, Jeremy Grant for the past two seasons has been putting up big numbers on both of the teams. He's in Detroit, he was putting up good numbers. With the Portland Trailblazers, he's putting up good numbers. So big numbers equals big contract. And Jeremy Grant is hoping for a bigger contract, probably, is what most agents would hope for. I mean, you have a player that's averaging 20 plus points per game, and shooting the three ball that well in today's game, that means that, hey, we can shop around and select the highest bidder. And that's just, you know, any agent, yeah, you know, in the game is going to want that. So I don't think it's something personal. I think Jeremy Grant likes playing in Portland.
Yeah.
But it's
he
just
said that.
Yeah.
In the midst of all of this, he did say that he's happy where he is. So, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean he's leaving.
Yeah, I don't think it means he's leaving at all. And I think it's just something that you have to do as a player, is you have to shop around and see, because, I mean, for all we know, he might land himself a major contract. And
yeah,
that's just part of the business. But you hope that he stays, and hopefully Portland can figure out a way to maneuver the roster around so that they can offer him the deal that he kind of wants and keep him around, because I think he pairs very well with Damian Lillard.
I agree. I think any Portland fan would agree that we want to keep him around. He's been really, really good for us this year. So give me your prediction. Do you think we'll make a move by the trade deadline? Yes or no?
Definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
I think somebody's going, possibly multiple people. I think right now the Trailblazers, they can't trade away Dame. They can't trade away Jeremy Grant.
Right.
And not even Simons, I think. I mean, that'd be really tough to get something better than them. So, and I mean, Nurkic, I don't see them getting somebody better than him.
I think Nurk might be, I think it's possible. I don't know what the move is there, but I definitely think it's possible that he could be moved.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. It's just one thing I do notice is, okay, with Josh Hart, Gary Payton, and, you know, people like Justice Winslow and that, those kind of, you know, players that are fitting in, those role players, I think that is where I think the Blazers would probably move.
Yeah, I agree.
Just because that's something where you have like similar players that can play similar roles, and they're veterans. They're not players that no one wants. They're players that every team wants. So I think that's where you're going to get good value for trades, if you trade them at all.
Yeah.
I'd love to see them stay, of course, though.
And part of this is exactly what you're saying, but I'm going to add to that. You trade a player like Josh Hart, who I'm using because his name obviously was put out there to the media. You trade a player like Josh Hart, and you don't necessarily have to get Josh Hart back. You can use that for another, because we have guys who can play that role, who can play that position. If you trade Nurk, you need to get a center. You need to get somebody who can fill Nurk's role. And so that's a little trickier, because you're essentially trading one center for another center. And so then you have to find a team who feels like, you know, you have to find a center that you think is going to, that we think is going to fit our team better than Nurk. But we also have to find a team who's willing to give us that center for Nurk, you know, who feels like Nurk is going to fit their team better. So it gets a little tricky with that. I guess you could somehow maybe do that with, I don't know. This is the part that I get caught up in. My brain struggles. But I think it would definitely be easier to move Josh Hart than it would to move Nurk. But we'll see. We'll see. I agree with you. If I'm betting that something happens. I don't think they're going to stay where they are. And even though I look at this team and I look at what's available and I think, I don't know what moves we're going to make here, thankfully that's not my job. And we have people who actually are very good at that, and hopefully, you know, can figure something out and make it happen.
Yeah. I think my biggest fear is that, you know, the Blazers will decide, okay, you know what? I don't see us getting to the playoffs, or maybe we want to just, you know, blow it up and start fresh. And then they end up trading a lot of good pieces away in the hopes that they can rebuild in the future. That's what I really don't want to see, because that's so hard to do with any franchise, and it typically doesn't work. So I hope that is not the case.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want to see another year of tanking. I've heard some people say, well, at this point we should tank, try to, you know, get early pick, draft picks. There's some, you know, Victor, whose name I cannot say correctly. I'm not even going to try. You all know who I'm talking about. Scoot Henderson, you know, you've got a couple big names there that are available, that I know people want to go after. I get it. But like, I don't want another year of tanking. I really don't. And I think, you know, I agree with you. I really hope that they don't decide to just blow up the team. And I don't think Dame is moving. I don't think there's any scenario in which he is gone.
If they blow up the team.
I don't think so, though. I think if they decided to blow up the team, it would be to rework around Dame. I don't possibly think it would be to start over completely or to
I hope not to start over completely. Yeah. But if they did, I mean, we saw that with my father. I mean, they trade away his head coach, he's made it to the finals. You trade away, you know, key pieces in his trips to the finals. So he's just like, okay, we did not get better. So,
well, I do think that when you're dealing with, I mean, I feel like this is what we kind of saw happen in Phoenix, where they made it to the end. And then it was like, okay, well, it's not happening for us. Blow it up. Yeah. I think that's different than where we've been at, where we haven't even been close. So I could see them going in and saying, all right, we're going to just make all the moves we can. We're going to completely retool. We want to get there. We want to get there with Dame. This, what we're doing right now, isn't working. We're going to just throw it all out the window and completely retool around him. I could see a scenario in which that happens. I hope they don't do that. I don't want to see that happen. But to me, I do not think that they're going to move Dame. I would be, oh, yeah. I'm not somebody who bets, but that's something I would bet on.
Yeah, I would bet. That. I would bet against them. I don't think that's happening. But I think the main factor is Dame wanted a change. He wanted to see something change with the roster. And this season, we're seeing the change. And it's, I mean, they're competitive. Don't get me wrong. I just think that there's not much. What else could you do, per se?
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see what direction they go. But I definitely think moves are going to be made.
There's always the, you know, the classic strategy of doing nothing and waiting and seeing if all the other teams
get worse moves
and get worse.
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, just because they want to make a trade or they want to make a deal doesn't mean it'll happen. So I think they're definitely, you know, looking for it, but there's no guarantee that it's going to happen. And one thing that I actually appreciate about this front office, at least it seems like, is that they're not going to give away more than they should just because they want to make a move. We saw that with Jeremy Grant. You know, it was very well known that they were going after him, that they wanted him. They couldn't get him for the price they wanted him at, so they waited, and then they got him later for a pick. And that was worth the wait. And I think that we'll see similar strategy with the front office moving forward. I don't think that they'll go after things just for the sake of making a move or making a change. Yeah. I think that they'll do it in a way where it's, you know, they're getting the value.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Okay, so this one's kind of a personal one for me. I haven't been able to talk about this on the podcast because it was not out yet. But I guess now it's 2 months ago because we're technically in February. But in December, at the beginning of December, I flew up to Portland and I had the opportunity to photograph Anfernee Simons for the cover of Dime Magazine. If you are on our YouTube video, you can see that. I've thrown that up there. If you're not, you know, it's all over social media. You can go look at it. But this was so cool to get to do this. You know, I obviously am a fan. So getting to go up and shoot, you know, somebody from our team for a magazine that I read was pretty cool. So you can see Ant. I've got a couple of them here. We got to shoot at the practice facility. Which I got to tell you, those floors are shiny.
Yeah. My favorite practice facility out of every team that I've ever, you know, been associated with. I think the Trailblazers, it's just like everything down to the cafeteria, just it's just nice. It's tucked away.
you would not know it. And it was interesting because when I pulled up, like, it's not very secure. Like, you could, I mean, you couldn't just walk in. Like, there is security, but it's, you know, there's not like a big fence or a big gate or whatever.
You would expect there to be like the giant gate and some buff dude at the entrance. No, it's just like a, you know, friendly person at the front desk.
Very
like,
friendly.
Oh, hey, you want some gear?
Really so cool. That was really cool. You know, I had not been in the practice facility before for the Blazers. I've been in other ones, but I hadn't been in that one. Really, really cool to get to do that. We, you know, we shot there and then, here's one, if you're again on YouTube, you can see, this is one of the photos from the practice facility that they used. And then we also shot at Anthony's house, which was really cool to kind of get to see, you know, where he lives and see him in his own personal environment.
And he has a Steinway piano.
He doesn't play the piano, I found out, although apparently Nasir Little does. So that was kind of interesting.
He just owns a Steinway piano. By the way, for people that don't know music, I love music. Steinway pianos, that's the Ferrari of pianos.
Yeah, I believe he said that it came with the house. So
that's pretty cool.
But this room was the coolest room to shoot in. This is actually the same. The cover photo was at the piano as well. And it was just such a beautiful, there's so much, here comes the photographer speak, but the light was so beautiful. I'm a photographer. I tend to be a natural light photographer. I do use lighting if I need to, but I prefer that. And so I'm somebody that kind of chases the light. Like if I will arrange my entire shoot around where there's pretty light if I have the opportunity. So that was really cool. He's also on Lake Oswego. This was really cool to get to see, you know, his view and where he's at. Just really, really beautiful, you know, picturistic place. And Anthony is an absolute professional. I mean, so when we shot this was back in December, the beginning of December. And when we shot this, it was when Dame was still hurt. He was coming off being hurt. Dame was coming off being hurt. It was a back to back where Anthony had scored like 45 points, and then come back and played again. And he'd been covering for Dame. And I think the night before we shot this was the first game Dame was back. So the poor guy was wiped. He had to be just exhausted. And you know, taking pictures is not really a natural thing for anyone. No one really loves to have their picture taken if that's not a thing that you do typically. But he was so professional. He was so kind, just really welcoming, you know, welcomed us into his home. And it was a really good time. We had a really good time, and you know, it was a very cool experience. So I look forward to doing more of this kind of thing. And it was cool. It was really cool.
It's, you know, it's unique. I don't, you know, you never hear about, you know, people that do that kind of stuff. And that's really cool that you do that. And you can kind of give everybody a perspective into what it's like being behind the scenes and having conversations with these people face to face.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, I love shooting basketball. I love photographing basketball. It's one of the best things, but I'm learning about myself as I kind of, you know, continue to push forward in this photography of sports world. This kind of thing is my absolute favorite. Getting to shoot, you know, these guys that I love to watch play, these athletes, getting to shoot them off the court and kind of see their personality and see, you know, where they are comfortable and what they like. I absolutely love that. My thing has always been the storytelling and the stories behind the people, and getting to do that in a more casual setting and getting to kind of, you know, see their personality and highlight that is my favorite thing. I absolutely love it. It's one of the things I love about shooting the show is, you know, obviously I'm shooting them working, but then on commercial breaks and in between things, you're getting kind of the, you know, their personality and like getting to see a little bit of that. And I just think that's so cool. So yeah, it was definitely a really cool thing. And I think Anfernee is somebody that we're going to be seeing for a while on this team, I hope.
Yeah, definitely.
A bigger fan of his after, you know, having these interactions, meeting him and hanging out with him for a while and getting to have these interactions. I always say that I'm a big fan of good basketball players, but I'm a bigger fan of good people. And I think Anfernee is one of those.
And so, speaking of Anfernee Simons, it was recently in an article where he credited, you know, recent success and recent fluidity of his game to just keeping it super simple.
Yeah.
And I love to see that. I mean, the Blazers are such a like skilled team in terms of they have a lot of players that can score the ball in any area of the court in any kind of way. And kind of simplifying that and making it to where, you know, you don't have to create a shot, rather you can just take what's given to you and create an open look, just kind of frees up the offense. And I love to see it.
Good. Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, you think about this and you think about, well, like, how can we get better? What can we do to like improve? And I feel like you never think about the simple answer. You always think about, well, let's try this or let's do this. And it's always like the complicated stuff, but just bringing it back to kind of the simple basics, that can be huge. And we're seeing that with him. There's so much beauty in just the basic game of basketball. You know, I mean, I know that in today's game, you're making these, did you see the shot Dame made tonight from the opposite free throw line? He was on the opposing team's free throw line and chucked the ball and made the shot, made it look effortless. You know, we're in this day and age where these super far out shots are a huge part of the game. You know, there's all these fancy moves, there's all these whatever, but at the end of the day, like driving to the hoop and making a layup, is a surefire. I mean, I guess it's not surefire. People miss them all the time, but you know, that those basics, if you can go back to those basics, it seems like a pretty safe bet. I think I don't know how many times I've yelled at the TV when I've been watching the Blazers or anybody where they take 3-point shot after 3-point shot after 3-point shot, and they're just missing them and they're missing them and they're missing them. And I just will like yell at the TV, like, why aren't you going in closer? Like, if you're missing it, go in, you know, simplify. Yeah. And I think that seems to be working for him. And I love to see that.
I think it's not only in that, it's just like, if the ball is moving, the defense has to move too. Mm-hmm. And because the defense is moving, there's more room for error on their part. I mean, with every pass, the defense has to adjust. And if they make the wrong move and you take advantage of them making a mistake, you just get a way more open look and easier shot. And it's just, that's good basketball. So simple is definitely the way to go. And as opposed to having to make step back fadeaway threes with two defenders on you. I mean, that's cool that a lot of players, like Ant is for sure one of those players that's capable of making that play. Yeah. But I mean, 2 points is 2 points, 3 points is 3 points, no matter how you score it.
Yeah. It's been really cool to watch the team this season because I feel like they're getting so much better at this stuff. You know, they're getting so much better at the ball movement. They're getting so much better. Defense, we used to be the worst. I remember making jokes about how scoring 125 was our, and hoping it was enough, was our defensive strategy, you know? And so like the team is getting so much better at those things. And again, I just keep going back to the fact that like, this is a team that can win. This is a team that has the skill. They have the talent. They have the ability. Frankly, they have the drive to do it. It's just doing it.
Yeah. And I think I'm surprised with what the Blazers are doing. And I love how they're competing every game. You know, they might get beat one game and then the next game they come right back out of the gates on fire. So
yeah,
I love to see the fight. Yeah, I think it's a solid team, and it's fun to watch for me. I do enjoy watching the Blazers games as opposed to, you know, there have been seasons where I'm like, okay, yeah, like we're a solid team, but it's just like, I know that it'd be very tough to get to the finals with that squad. Whereas this squad, I'm like, this is a fun team. You know, regardless of if they make it to the finals, it's fun basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I think that rings true off the court as well. You know, you watch the things that are going on the bench. You watch the chemistry between the players. You watch the interactions with the fans. Gary is like so much fun with fans. I love watching him with the fans, with the mascots. He's so entertaining. Like, you've got really good basketball, even when they're losing it. Like you said, it's fun to watch. It's entertaining to watch. But they're also like the chemistry and the personalities of these guys. Like, this is a really fun team. It's a very likable team. If this team was winning all the time, like, it would be hard to not be a fan of this team. I get that it sucks to lose. So I understand we lose some people there. But you're right. It's a fun team. It really is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Adam, do you have anything else you want to add tonight?
Yeah, just kind of out of the blue, but I was actually watching a football game, and Tony Romo decided to to bring up the oddest analogy I've ever seen, and it caught me totally off guard.
Wait. I have to share this, because when this happened, I texted you. Share the analogy first.
Yeah, so Tony Romo, in the midst of a football game against, you know, Joe Burrow and, you know, the Kansas City. I mean, it was just
Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes. Yeah. And in the midst of the third, you know, third quarter, he just says, oh, this is just like the game where Clyde Drexler versus Michael Jordan. You know, and he's trying to say that he took it personally, like from The Last Dance, which I'm just like, what an odd thing to throw out in a football game in the third quarter. And I like Tony Romo, don't get me wrong, but I was like, huh, that was tough.
It's so funny to see things like that. I'm sure that's weird for you, but I was watching the game and I was on Twitter and I saw, and I texted you and I was like, hey, your dad's trending on Twitter. And your response was, oh no, what do you do now? I was laughing so hard. But it's gotta be kind of a weird feeling for you to be watching football and hear your dad's name.
Yeah, not what I expected to hear at all. I gotta say, I mean, yeah, you can throw in little, you know, hints of other sports in the midst of a broadcast, but in this case, I was like, what a weird thing to bring up. The battle between Michael Jordan and my father has nothing to do with Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, entirely different situation.
It was a stretch. It was a stretch.
It was a bit of a stretch, but I mean, points for Tony Romo for you know, bringing up a legendary battle. And he tried to stretch it, but like, it just couldn't make the stretch.
So close.
Yeah,
it's such a wild thing. You know, I can only imagine for you growing up with your dad and now, you know, obviously hearing those things come up. I hear those things come up and it throws me when I hear it. So, but it was just such a funny, like, man, your dad really, really made himself a legend. He really did.
The memes were outstanding.
Were they?
People who were tweeting about it were just—they were coming up with the best. I laughed for like a whole hour. I was just scrolling through and just dying laughing. It's hilarious.
Man, I'll have to go back and look. It's so funny because I really got into Twitter when I started, you know, doing this sports writing, will never go. It's my favorite social media now. Like, people are so funny and clever and creative, and like the things you can find. It's just, I love when things like that happen and people just chime in. It's so funny. It's so funny, man. It really is wild. It's, you know, I think about those days of him playing and just what a name he made for himself and for the Blazers too. It's to end up on a football game years later.
Yeah, commentated by Tony Romo.
Right.
So we love to see it. Tony Romo, by all means, if you ever by chance happen upon this podcast, don't stop. Keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, man. Well, Adam, this was a fun conversation. I always really enjoy these. We are on Twitter. You can find us if you're watching us on YouTube, you can see our handles below. But you can find me at Deandra Ann. You can find Adam at Drex Glides and then the number 2. We are on Twitter, obviously. Make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel and our podcast feed so you don't miss out on the latest episodes. We're still kind of in the early stages, so our timing is a little off. Sometimes they release on Wednesdays, sometimes it's on Fridays, sometimes there's a week in between. So the best way to keep up is to just follow the subscribe to our feed, subscribe to YouTube, whatever, wherever you watch it or listen to it, so that you don't miss the episodes. We really appreciate your support, you know, as we're still kind of in the early stages and figuring out how to do this and what we're doing. We appreciate all the support that we're getting. It's been really fun to hear feedback, you know, on Twitter. And I always try to respond to those when people respond to the podcast. But it's been really cool to hear the feedback and you know, the comments from Blazers fans. It's fun to have those conversations and kind of interact with that. So Adam, anything else?
Yeah. Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to Shooting Hoops. We'll be back hopefully next week with another episode.
You're listening to Shooting Hoops with your hosts, Dia Miller and Adam Drexler.